All right. My name is Corey Bjornberg. I am a grad student in the Civil Engineering Department at NDSU here, and my topic today is moving bed biofilm reactor for nitrification and denitrification. And nitrogen is found, it's a major building block for life. It occurs naturally from the decomposition of organics. It's found from both non-point sources such as fertilizer and point sources, and I'll be focusing on treating point sources. Negative impacts. Nitrate can cause blue baby syndrome, along with phosphorus. Increased levels of nitrate or nitrogen can cause algae blooms and again eutrophication. Also can increase the acidity of water. I'll give you here the basic steps for nitrification. It's a two-step process. The first is ammonia being oxidized to nitrite, and then nitrite being oxidized by nitrate. And these are done by autotrophic bacteria, and you can see the steps here. Denitrification is a multi-step process. It happens under anaerobic conditions, and it's done by heterotrophic and autotrophic bacteria. And in this scenario, nitrite or nitrate is the electron acceptor instead of oxygen with nitrification. So I'm going to be talking about tertiary denitrification, so a carbon source will be added. Moving bed biofilm reactor, essentially you're combining an activated sludge and a trickling filter all into one reactor. This way, it's a fixed film process, but yet you get to maximize your tank capacity. Advantages, smaller footprint, again, utilizing the whole tank. Less sludge produced, and the sludge is better settling. Easy expansion, if you want to expand your plant, you simply add more media. There's no clogging, and it's pretty reliable since you contain all the biomass in the media and it's contained. Washout isn't really a huge issue. It's also easy to retrofit existing basins for those expanding facilities. I did a design example. Again, I'm looking at nitrogen removal. This is a tertiary treatment, so we've already reduced most of our BOD, so most of the carbon is gone. I'm going to nitrify it, denitrify it, and I'm going to look at municipal wastewater. And my goals was to remove ammonia and nitrate to below 5 milligrams per liter and total nitrogen to below 15. Here's my basic design. I'll have nitrification. We'll input some alkalinity to ensure the reaction occurs. We'll aerate it, fill it with media, and then when we're done nitrifying, we'll add a carbon source before denitrification. We'll mechanically mix it and hopefully reduce our nitrogen. Oops. Design parameters. Since we're looking at a treatment facility, I just use typical values taken from Moorhead Wastewater Treatment Plant. I took their final clarifier effluent as my basin influent. Some of them, I chose just a design temperature of 20 degrees. I assumed steady state condition, and my reactors would act as completely mixed reactors. Also, a lot of the parameters, since there's not as well-described equations for producing it, a lot of it's empirical data that I use. And Cullness is a major producer of this media, and I use a lot of their parameters for my design. Here you can see my design characteristics of flow of 6 million gallons per day. Ammonia 25 and some other values there. My nitrification tank design, I used a nitrification rate of 1 gram of ammonia per meter squared per day, and again, that's a value given by the producer here. I decided to fill it, they suggested between 30% and 50% fill of your tank with this media. I chose 30% that way in the future if they would like to expand. Yeah, they can simply add more media. When we're talking about media here, you can I gave some of the dimensions. You notice the density is just slightly under 1. This allows it to essentially it free flows pretty well with the aeration. Surface area is 500 meters squared per meter cube, and this area is essentially the whole area except the outside. They exclude the outside in that measurement because when the media collide with each other, they state that it makes it inhabitable for microorganisms. Based on this rate, I determined that a reactor volume of 130,000 cubic feet would be needed. They suggested a depth of 12 feet, and then I used a length-to-width ratio and determined my hydraulic retention time of 3.9 hours. Metcalf and Eddy suggested between 3.5 and 4.5 for nitrification, so fell within that. For aeration, again, coarse bubble diffusers are used, and the reason for that is to create mixing of the media to keep them moving, as well as to deliver the required oxygen. Colonists suggested a transfer rate of 1% per foot depth, and since my reactor is 12 feet deep and the grid would be approximately 1 foot off, that's 11 feet down, so 11% oxygen transfer rate. And then again, I based my oxygen requirements on the stoichiometry earlier given. Then I determined my standard oxygen transfer rate from the equations seen here and some correction factors that are used. Airflow rate was determined to be 4,000 cubic feet per minute. And again, this is based on these equations you see here. Another important design is when you're doing this is your grid pattern for your aeration system. It's important that you aerate the whole basin so you don't have dead zones and short-circuiting. I then, based on this stoichiometry, also figured out my alkalinity. This, again, I assumed an influent alkalinity and a desired effluent alkalinity to keep the pH around 7, and I was able to calculate the amount of alkalinity required. For my denitrification tank, again, this is an anaerobic process, so we'll no longer be aerating it. I couldn't find a good picture of a mechanical mixer, so I just did that, threw that picture on there. I got frustrated. Again, denitrification rate was taken from colonists of 2 grams of ammonia. That should be nitrate. 2 grams of nitrate per meter squared per day. Again, I filled it with 30% media, and I determined reactor volume 56,000 cubic feet. Again, I use the same media as the nitrification basin, so for ease of design here. HRT of 1.7 hours was determined. This, again, was pretty close to what Metcalf and Eddy said. Methanol, again, we're going to add methanol because this is tertiary treatment, so we've removed the carbon already. So we need to add carbon to make the reaction happen. Typical dose of 3.2 grams of methanol per gram nitrate is often used, and I determined that pumping rate of 510 gallons per day of methanol is required for this design. So then here you can see my resultant design. Again, this is just a summary of my design. You have my alkalinity, my aeration, my volumes, carbon source again. So that was my basic design. And then, since you all know I love BioWind so much, I decided to see if it actually worked. And here you can see the basic schematic, my nitrification tank, my denitrification tank, and methanol. There's no alkalinity influence, so you have to change it actually within the influent wastewater characteristics. So that's what I did. And here you can see my results. If you look at the effluent, I got ammonia to 0.2, my nitrate to 2.7, and my TKN, or total nitrogen to 10.6. And I accomplished all the goals I had set out to meet. If some other considerations would be if you're actually going to go ahead and use an MBBR, depending on where the facility is and what their status is, it might be more efficient to simultaneously remove carbon and nitrogen, more cost effective that way. But again, there's a lot of variables there. If you look, I did increase my solids coming out of the effluent and acetate depending on their requirements, a sedimentation tank might be needed. A more detailed design for alkalinity, I know in Moorhead, because when they aerate it, stripping of CO2 actually increases the pH throughout the reactor, so I question that, and I think that needs further investigation. Other considerations, depending again on the facility, can you utilize existing infrastructure? And again, I looked at one temperature, one flow, and one loading condition, so those, obviously, those aren't constant, so those need to be considered. So, that said, do you have any questions?